with me, if you will. It's a familiar scripture because if you were here last Sunday, you were there last Sunday. And it'll be John chapter 20, and we'll be in verses 24 through 29. But see, if you weren't here last Sunday, amen, you now you know what you missed. But you know what? I'm a nice fellow. I'm going to try and catch you up. But last week we talked about what you miss when you miss church. What you miss when you miss church. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, and those of you who have your Bibles, wave them in the air. And those of you who don't, shame on you. Can't tell the players without a program. All right, it reads on this wise, and I've got to make a point to let you know that I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I know that the King James Version reads a little bit differently, but it still has the same meaning, and we'll go over it. And it reads on this wise. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Yes, yes.
And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God."
Yes.
Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." For a few moments of your time, we want to talk about what happened at church. What happened at church? Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. We thank you, Father God, because we realize that no one or nothing said that we had to close our eyes last night and to wake up on this side. No one and nothing said that we had to wake up in our right minds. Nothing and no one said that we had to continue to breathe good air and have the blood running warm through our veins. But Lord, you saw fit to keep us safe throughout the night, and that you allowed us to see another day which was not promised to us. And because you've been so good and kind to us, Father God, we just thought it was right and proper to find ourselves in church this morning. Will you come, Father God? We have come. We are coming with a spirit of expectation. We realize, Father God, that you're with us wherever we are. But Lord, it's just something about being in the presence of the saints. So we pray this morning, Father God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us this day. We ask, Father God, that we would not leave this place the same way that we came in, but we would leave with a greater fire, a greater desire to want to serve and tell others about a God who sits high and looks low and loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. Lord, our prayer is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power. That it would do those things that you've purposed it to do. Some to encourage, others to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things, we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What happened at church? Last week, we talked about what happens when you miss church. You know, when you miss church and we... And it was the same disciples, the same situation. You know, old Thomas, we started at verse 25, and we realized that Thomas was missing from the other disciples this Sunday morning. Like I said, the Bible doesn't say why he missed. He may have had a really good reason to miss church. Amen? Amen. Now, everybody can't be in church all the time. I get it. I understand it. Amen. Sometimes you just need a break from the saints. Amen. But your break should not run more than several weeks at a time. Amen? Amen. So I'll give you, look, I shouldn't give you permission, but I'm going to give you permission to miss one Sunday a month.
Great.
Just make sure you send your tithe. Amen. Amen. But send your tithe. If you can't beat a man, send a man. Anyway. But anyway, Thomas misses he misses out with the disciples. He does whatever. The Bible doesn't tell us why he leaves, but he leaves. And then while Thomas is out, Jesus shows up. And Jesus shows out. And Jesus always does, right? Whenever Jesus shows up, things just begin to happen. They were in that room, and the Bible tells us that they were in the room, and they had the door closed because they was afraid that the Jews was going to come get them. They had already gotten Jesus. They had already crucified Jesus. They had already killed the Savior. And they said, now, if they'll do that to Jesus, what would they do to us? So I can understand why they would be sitting in a room, why they might be afraid. But you know what? Jesus has a way of showing up and dispelling our fears. Matter of fact, just like I put a pin in it last week, I'll put a pin in it this week. You know what? It's all right to be afraid. It's just don't act in your fear, because your fears will cause you to look at things in the wrong way. A friend of mine has an acronym for the word fear. It's false evidence appearing real. And that's all that fear does. If you think about it, our fears oftentimes, we'll run it all the way to the nth degree.
Yes.
And then once it's all over with, it never happened the way that you thought it was going to happen. You done thought that all the world was going to fall in, and then all you just find out is just that all if I just plug it in, it'll work. It's like when your refrigerator wasn't working and you start looking around, why the light out? Stuff ain't cold. Oh, man, this is going to cost me a lot of money. And he's like, well, I got to get it fixed. And so you call the man out. The man come out. He say, yeah, the power's off. Man, don't be taking out the rest of my thing. There ain't no power going through the thing. And so he rolled the thing back and come to find out that your plug has come out from the power source. Amen. But all this time, you thinking that what? I'm going to have to buy a new refrigerator. I might have to go get some more appliances. And all it was that it wasn't plugged in. And that's how fear will do you if you allow it. But Jesus has a way of showing up. And he tells you the first thing that Jesus says when he shows up. This last time, he says what? Peace be unto you. And then that's all they needed, because what they thought was that Jesus was dead and all my hope was gone, and that what we going to do? We've been following Jesus for the last 3 years, watching him heal other folk, watching him, take the Sadducees and the Pharisees down a notch. And here he is. He had the nerve to up and die on us. What we going to do? And then Jesus turns around and shows up and says, peace be still. You imagine how they felt? Jesus, wait a minute, this the same Jesus who I saw die on the cross, who we saw put in a grave, and here he is. You imagine the hope that just grew up in them. You imagine the happiness on their faces. And then you kind of, you know what? And then when things happen, you know, we kind of say it's surprise. But really, it's just like fear, and then it was like a happy, like fear tinged with happiness. That's all really a surprise is. You think about it, you're like, oh, you scared me. But then you was glad that they came out of the box or something, right? That was the same way when Jesus showed up. They was like, oh, it's Jesus, but ain't you supposed to be dead? He comes up and he says, I'm alive. I once was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. So it don't, look, you thought it was over with. It was just the beginning. That was just the end of the beginning. That was just the end of the beginning. There's still some more to come. And so now here they are. They're all happy, but guess who's not there? Thomas. So here we are today, right? Here we are today, and then, probably comes in, he asks the question, what happened at church? And now, I mean, but we ask that question all the time, right? We miss out on church, and it's like, okay, well, I know one of the members is going to come by and check on me. And so you ask them the question, well, what happened at church today? And so you begin to tell the story, right? You begin to tell them, well, you missed, ooh, Woo, you missed a high time. We had a high time in the Lord. Oh, it got so good, child. People was running around the church. Sister so-and-so lost her wig and ran out to church. We had to go send the deacon behind them to go get them. And so the deacon said he couldn't find her at first. When he turned the corner, there she was smoking a cigarette. But we had a hard time in church, and you missed it. And can I tell you what you missed last week? If you weren't here last week, we had somebody join the church. But see, because, amen. But because you wasn't here, Sister Bertha Jefferson, number five for this year. We need how many more? 95 more. Y'all need to be working. 95 more. But if you weren't here, you missed her coming forward and becoming a part of us. Amen. Amen. What you miss when you miss church. But then you ask the question, what happened at church? And so poor Didymus found himself asking the same question. You know, what happened at church? What do you mean, what happened? What do you mean Jesus was here? Okay, if you remember this, you'll get the rest of the sermon. When you miss church, you miss the best part of the week. Amen. When you miss church, you miss the best part of the week. When Thomas missed church, he missed this report. He said, the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Ain't he dead? I mean, the last time when we were together, he was dead. And you can imagine the thoughts that are going through his mind. They playing with me. They playing with me. Because, you know, they playing with me because I know I was there. I was there when they captured him. I was there when they crucified him. I was there when they mocked him and they went from judgment hall to judgment hall. I was there. I may not have been inside, but I was there. I got the reports. I saw him when they beat him. I saw him carrying that cross. I saw him when they had the thorns crushed down on his head and he was made to carry that cross. I was there when Simon the Cyrene was made to pick up the cross because he had dropped the cross because he couldn't carry it no further. I saw that. And then I saw it when they took him to Golgotha and then they put nails in his hands. And they put nails in his feet. I saw him when the centurions, after a while, they got tired of him just dying real slow. And then when they turned around and said, well, he dead? Well, we're going to make sure he dead. And they took the spear and they stabbed him into the side. And you know the centurions, you know Romans. Romans knew how to kill you. I'm serious. That was their job, to learn how different ways to kill you. Don't you know that they had it down to an exact science? They knew that anything more than 39 lashes would probably kill you. So they gave you 39. Save one. To make sure that you didn't die. We want to make sure you get all this torture. We want to make sure you get all this pain. We want to keep you alive long enough so that you gonna die, but we're gonna take our time killing you. That's how come they knew that when they took the spear and they put it where they put it, they knew that anybody else would be dead. If he wasn't dead yet, he was dead then. And so you notice that later on, Thomas will have a requirement. But in addition to his requirement, he still had this report that Jesus was alive. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, my job, if you make a report, and that's usually when things begin for us, is when you make a report. When you make a report, when you walk up in there into the station and you say, look, this is what happened to me. And then we start asking you, well, what did you see? And how did it happen? And where did you go? And we start asking you all these questions about the incident. Don't you know, I'm quite sure that even though it's not laid out here directly, I'm quite sure that Didymus asked the question, well, what did you say? And how did it happen? And you said, wait a minute, he showed up and he said, peace be still? And what did you do? And how did you do it? Amen. You ever talk to little kids? You know, in that stage where they start asking you why? And after a while, you just get tired. I'm tired of why. You know, and then you just finally say, because I told you so. How do you prove something that you see? Well, you might want to ask some other witnesses. Well, Peter, you was here. Did you see Jesus? Yeah, I was here. Everybody else was here. Okay, well, then he probably turned to John. John, who's going to write this? John, what did you see? Well, I just told you. We saw Jesus. Come on, man. Look, the rest of y'all are playing with me. Don't play with me like this. I mean, I can see Thomas getting upset because of what he missed last Sunday. Y'all said Jesus was here, but how come somebody didn't come get me? We didn't know where you were. And why would we want to stop talking to Jesus to come find you? Amen. You should have been here. But isn't that like church? We have praise. We have worship. It gets high. I mean, and then people come. I mean, and then when you come, you shouldn't just come, but you should come with a spirit of expectation. You ought to come expecting God to move, God to manifest his presence, God to do something that he didn't do last week, that he'll do this week. Man, I'm coming. I said, where are you going? I'm going to church. Why are you going there? Because Jesus is going to show up. And don't you know Jesus shows up every time we have church? Don't you know whose word are we reading? It's his word. He is the word of God. Every time the pastor stands up and gives you what he's been given by God, it comes from the word of God. The word of God is Jesus, and what Jesus says is going to happen. You ought to come to church expecting God to move, not just in the service, but expect him to move on you. Well, you know, I've been hurting, and you know, I've been expecting Jesus to move on my relationship, and you know, I'm gonna come. I've been to church, and you know, ain't nothing gonna happen there. The people gonna be yelling and screaming, but you know, well, how's he gonna do anything for you if you don't expect him to do anything for you? You have to come with a spirit of expectation. You have to come expecting that God is going to move on your behalf, that God has heard your prayers, that God knows what it is that you need, that God has all the power to make what happened need to happen. Sometimes we think that God is like the worker at Burger King. Like, he gonna make it your way. Your way is usually the wrong way. That's how come he don't give it to you your way. Because if he gave it to you your way, you think it was you. Sometimes God got to let things get to the point where you can't take credit for it no more. Amen. If you read in Hebrews, it talks about Abraham, and it said that Abraham was good as dead. When before, I was like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the father of many nations. You changed my name from Abram, the father, high father, to Abraham, father of many nations. And here I am, 100. And Lord, you know, all I got is this fella, Eleazar. All I got is Eleazar. Lord, all I got is Eleazar. I'm 100, Lord. And all I got, look, some of y'all just pushing 75. Look. All I got is this fella Eleazar, and you done made me change my name, the father of many nations. I ain't even got one yet. Amen. It ain't gonna come the way that you want it to come. And so, matter of fact, let's just stay with our example of Abraham. Here it is. He said, well, Lord, since you ain't, you know, like moving the way I want you to move, you know, Sarah's idea is a pretty good idea. You know. And, you know, Hazar, she ain't an ugly woman. So, you know what? We're going to do this our way. But the way you always do stuff don't always work, does it? It usually ends up having more problems than what you it's like, and suddenly Sarah turns around and say, after she has Isaac, she turns around and tells Abraham, you know what? I can't have this boy inheriting with my son. Now, before, you was all on board. It was your idea. Go ahead, take my handmaid and get us a son. But now that you got yours, we got to do something about your mistake. It don't always come the way you expect, and it don't always come the way you expect it. But it's coming. And he tells us that it's coming because you know why? How you know? Because you've been in church and you know. I haven't been telling you anything that you didn't already know because many of you have already heard the story. Many of you have already read the story. All I'm doing is just telling you about stuff you already know. Well, how did you know this? Well, somewhere, sometime, way back in the day, there was another preacher that talked you through that story and told you, thus saith the Lord. All I'm telling you is that Didymus missed church on the day that they were talking about when Jesus showed up. So now he's received this report, and now Thomas doubted the report. And so now he demands a requirement. He turns to them and says, unless I see the marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. So here it is. He's over here in the Fertile Crest, and all of a sudden he decides he wants to move to the United States and live in Missouri. See, only this half of the room got it. Missouri is the show me state. Oh, okay, Maureen. Missouri is the show me state. And so people from Missouri say, oh, man, y'all making me work today. So Thomas turns around and Thomas says, essentially, you know what? I know y'all said what you thought you saw, and I you know what? And you guys are all respectable people because I hang out with you, right? But you know what? I'm just not there. I just don't believe that the woman ran down the aisle and lost her wig and went outside. You know what? I hear your story, but I'm not believing it. I'm not believing it. And I won't believe it until he shows up again. Well, now, check this out. Thomas, who does not have all power, who is totally unomniscient, I guess I could put un in front of omniscient, unomniscient, unpowerful, and thank you, unknowing. See, he's good. Who's totally unknowing. Is basically turning to the others and said, until the omniscient, omnipresent, and all-powerful God shows up, I ain't going to believe you. The creature is calling to task the creator. But you know what? Can I put a pin here? We do the same. We turn around and we read these verses and say, you know what? Raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get older, they shall not depart from it. You know what? But mine done lost his mind. He done run in the streets and, you know, doing everything but what he's supposed to be doing. I've been praying this scripture ever since he was a little boy, and here he is. He ain't in my house no more, but he's still in my heart. And all I can do is pray. But, Lord, it don't seem like you holding up your end. You know what the wonderful thing about God is? He ain't scared of your why. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where God is like, really? I mean, okay, you can question me if you want, but my word is true.
That's it.
And then all of a sudden, I'm going to take my pen out now. All of a sudden, for whatever reason, that child hits rock bottom and meets up with the rock at the bottom. And then that child, all of a sudden, what you thought had been written off, that which you thought was the last, the least, and the lost, that which was like, well, you know, the other three are okay, except for this one here. I'm going to have to be happy with the other three, but he's still on my heart, but he can't be in my house. Amen. Y'all can fill that in with whatever he's still on my heart, but he can't be in my house. And then all of a sudden, that which you would not allow in your house has his own house. And he's doing better than you thought he would do. Because sometimes we got to hit the rock at the bottom so we can bounce back up and be where we're supposed to be. Thomas turns around and he says, look, I'm gonna put a requirement on this. Unless I see the marks in his hand, unless I can put my finger where the nails were, and unless I can put my hand in his side, I won't believe. So the saints provided a report. He then requires a sign, but then guess what? The Lord reappears. That's the one thing that you should be able to be sure about every time that you come to church, that the Lord will make an appearance. And see, it may not always be the way that you think. Sometimes the Lord shows up, and he shows up in the praise and the worship. Sometimes he shows up, and he shows up in the sermon. But you know what? Sometimes he shows up when the service is over. After everything has been done, all of a sudden somebody may say something to you, and that which you were looking to be fulfilled earlier gets filled at the end. That's how come you shouldn't leave before the benediction. Because God works through all of it at any point in time. Notice they said the doors were shut again. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Now notice, it didn't say Jesus appeared about the same time at the same day. He said Jesus appears. He says the same thing, peace be unto you. And you ever notice that whenever Jesus shows up, things get right? Whenever Jesus shows up, that which was in confusion is now in order. Whenever Jesus shows up, when you were afraid, you're no longer afraid because your Father in heaven has showed up. Don't you know? And that's just like in real life, isn't it? When I remember when I was a young boy, and my daddy told me one time, he said, okay, when you get finished at practice, I need you to be right here where I dropped you off. Don't go with nobody. Don't do nothing else. I'm going to be back for you. And so after practice was over, I went and I stayed there. And the people said, well, come on, Stan. We'll take you home. And I said, no. My daddy said he was coming back. And I'm going to stay right here. Because if I leave from here, he going to have not just words with me, but he going to, you know, put the board of education to the seat of learning. I'm going to stay right here. And so then they left. And then there was a young lady, and she showed up, and she said, well, Stan, you know, why don't you, I'll walk you home. And she was a nice young lady. But then I remembered my daddy was coming for me. And so I, as much as I wanted to walk with the young lady, and I did, I said, well, no, I got to wait because my daddy's going to show up. And so then all of a sudden it began to rain. And here I am. I'm standing in the rain. I'm getting soaking wet. And I could have went somewhere else and maybe got cover, but I remembered that my daddy said, wait right here, I'm coming. And sure as his word is, even though I let my friends go before me, even though a young lady came through and I was happy to go with her, and even though it began to rain and I could have looked for shelter on my own, I waited where the Father told me to wait. And so he came just like he said he was going to come. Don't you know that God is the same way? He has given us explicit instructions. Go where you're supposed to go and just wait for me there. And don't you know he told them the very same thing. Disciples, go and wait for me here. I'm going to come. Just wait for me here. Don't go nowhere. Wait for me here. And I'm going to come for you. And somebody decided, oh, I'm just not going to come to church today. But Jesus came. And he showed up. And when he missed him, he said, well, I won't believe unless. And you notice the things that he asked to do were all things that were consistent with what Jesus had done. I won't believe that Jesus is able to heal unless he heals me. I won't believe that Jesus is able to make a way out of no way unless he makes a way for me. I won't believe that Jesus is a lawyer in the courtroom unless I need a lawyer in a courtroom. I won't believe that Jesus is able to save me until I can see others saved. And don't you know that gets played out in church every day? That there are those who have come this way. They're hurting. They're the last. They're the least. They're the lost. And they heard somewhere that there is a Jesus who's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. That there's a Jesus who's able to heal you when the doctor has written you off. When the hospital has said, we can't do nothing else for you. There's a Jesus that's able to heal you. And don't you know that that Jesus is a doctor? Is a lawyer in the courtroom. After all the legal minds that you have consulted and paid for have basically said you better take the deal and run and do your time, Lawyer Jesus shows up, and the case that they thought they had, they ain't got no more. Haven't you ever heard it said that your case is dismissed? Yeah, you was guilty of sin, but your case has been dismissed. Why? Because we can't bring nobody in here to say what you did. Your case is dismissed. On top of that, even if you are guilty, there's somebody else who's willing to take your time for you. Yes. Amen. Jesus does all that. Jesus shows up and he appears among them and the door is locked. And the first thing he says is, peace be unto you. Yes. Just like he did the last time that Jesus was in church, he says, peace be unto you. And then he gives Thomas specific instructions. Then notice, he didn't say nothing to anybody else. And you know what? Sometimes the blessings we receive might be for us. But notice, everybody benefits. Wow. He tells Thomas, take your hand and put it in my hand. There were 9 other people there who saw Thomas take his hand and put it in the hands of Jesus. There were 9 other people there who saw Thomas take his hand and put it on his feet. There were 9 other people there who saw Thomas take his hand and put it on the side. Basically, we've all seen this. That's the reason why things happen in church that don't happen anywhere else. Why? Because there are other people who need to be inspired. Other people who need to know that Jesus is able and Jesus is here and Jesus will show up in your time of need. And when he encourages you, he's encouraging us all that I will show up where I tell you I'm going to be. Thomas, take your hand and put it in my side. And then the Bible says that they were glad. And then Jesus turns around and he tells Thomas, but it's probably for the rest of them as well. Right. Stop doubting and believe. And he probably didn't even have to say it that way. He probably said it like, you know, like when you mess up and you know you messed up. And you done whooped yourself. You know about whoopings like that, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, you done whooped yourself. I don't even need to whoop you. You know, my daddy had a way of saying stuff, and you'd be like, wow. I mean, sometimes it was more effective than him laying hands on you. And Jesus turns to Thomas and tells him, stop doubting and believe. Now, and you figure, I mean, this really probably cut him to the core, because you think about it, he was with Jesus for 3 years. Yes. Everywhere that Jesus went, he went. Everything that Jesus ate, he ate. Everywhere that he was there when Jesus healed the sick, he was there. When he fed the 5,000, not once but twice, he was there. When with the widow of Nain, when they were marching through and they were having a funeral, and all of a sudden it turned into a celebration because he touched the body in the casket and the body came back to life. He was there when Lazarus was in the grave and he yells at Lazarus. Notice he didn't say everybody. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth and he wrapped all the mummified. You know, that probably just spooked the living daylights out of everybody. But Thomas was there, and Thomas saw it. And even still, after all that, Jesus gets taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. Jesus is beaten and spat upon and scourged and braids of thorns are platted and crushed down on his head, and they're witnessing all this, and this is the same Jesus who has the ability to talk to the sea and tell it to be peace and be still, but yet Jesus doesn't say anything as he goes through all of this, and yet and still he is put on the cross. He's hung high, stretched wide. He hangs his head. Then he dies. They place him in a borrowed tomb. And at that point, the disciples' heart fell heavy, and they decided to go into a room and hide because they didn't know what else to do. But then later on, there's a story about some women, and that's what I love about the women, right? The women, they didn't give up. You know, now they went there thinking that there was going to be a body, but when they got there, there was no body. And so what do they do? I can imagine, you know, Mary hikes up her dress and she gets to running. And she makes her way to where them disciples are. They say, the master is not in the tomb. And then they turn around and say, well, come on, Peter, and come on, John. And John outruns Peter, but John won't go into the tomb. Peter don't care about nothing, right, because I got a knife and I'll cut you. He runs up in the tomb. He sees everything is folded up and there's no Jesus. But what is it that they do? They go back to the room. Yeah, the body's missing. No, there's no body in the tomb, but lock the door. Because if they took him out the tomb, they're going to probably pull us out this house. And Jesus shows up. And Jesus says, peace, be still. It's no different in many of our lives. We've had a situation where something terrible happened. All that we thought was our hope, all of a sudden our hope is gone. And all we can think to do is go run to our room and barricade ourselves because our hope is gone. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to show up in church. I'm kind of hurting, and, you know, I'm just going to hang out in the man cave. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up, and he says, peace, be still. Just like I did before, I can do it again. My power is not limited. If what I did for them, I can do for you. That's my sermon. I'm done. I don't even have a song for you this morning.